It's March 15th, 2022. We do have a quorum present, and we are going to go ahead and call this meeting to order. If you can all stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Just as a reminder, we now have folks in the courtroom. If you can mute your cell phones or silence them, greatly appreciated. We're going to move on to item number 3 on today's agenda. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the agenda for March 15th, 2022. Is there any public comment regarding today's agenda? For folks on Zoom, you can use star 6 to unmute yourself, or you can use the raise your hand feature. One more call. Is there any public comments on today's agenda? Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, any questions about today's agenda or comments?
No questions. Thank you.
Vice Chair?
No. That's good.
All right. With that said, would you entertain a motion then, please?
Yeah. This is Commissioner Mitchell. I move to approve today's agenda as presented.
Second.
There is a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to item number 4, this is for discussion and possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the minutes for February 1, 2022. Is there any public comment regarding the minutes for February 1, 2022? Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any comments or questions about the minutes?
No, thank you.
Vice Chair?
No, they look good.
All right, would you entertain a motion, please?
Yeah, this is Commissioner Mitchell. I move to approve the minutes for our February 1st, 2022 meeting.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Moving right along to item number 5. This is today's consent agenda. Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Not seeing any public comment on today's consent agenda. Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments?
No, thank you, sir.
Vice Chairman?
My only question had to do with the tax-exempt status, and I don't know if we have if Jan is on with us. I'm just wondering, it's a decent-sized amount, and I'm just wondering if that has any implications for budgets, or if that's already accounted for, rolled over as being an outstanding debt in the present period, if you will. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, we can check with Jana.
Yeah, or Austin.
Or Austin. Start with Jana, actually, would be great.
Okay, Jana?
Good morning.
Morning.
As far as budgets and stuff, I'm really unsure on how that affects anything. The churches are generally tax exempt. Yes, it was included in the overall tax roll. And what really happened was when they sold the Presbyterian Church to Western Missionary Museum Corp., we kept contacting them for the paperwork. Somebody would say, oh, we're going to send it to you. They never sent it to us. After a discussion with ADA Loomis, he agreed that without the paperwork, we could not really make them tax exempt, even though we kind of knew that they were, because churches are generally tax exempt. For some reason, one year it states, if you look in the packet, I believe it was the second year that they must have called, and the treasurers wiped that out. Because they're like, oh, you're a church, you're right, it shouldn't be there. I told them I would do my best at this point. It does show on the paperwork that their tax exempt status date was all the way back to 2015 prior to purchasing this property. But I'm really unsure as to why they never gave us the paperwork until their actual accountant called us and spoke to me, and I told them exactly what we needed. So that's really all I know.
Okay, and just thank you. And And so just so I make sure I understand specifically what's going on here, there were 3 years they actually paid taxes. 1 year, as you mentioned, that disappeared completely, it was pulled off. And then the current year, it's just deleting the bills or correcting it. Is that what we're looking at?
That is correct.
Okay. I just want to make sure. I mean, we're talking about a difference of about $12,000 here, all in, and so I just want to make sure that didn't have any sort of trickle down effects into other items or budgeting.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Thank you. The comptroller is on her way up here. She's in travel, so I'll just speak on that behalf. About a $12,000, $13,000 impact here. I'm very confident that she would say that this is not going to have any impact on any of our current budgeting situation, and that she would work with Mr. Costanza to make sure it's represented appropriately in the audit. Thank you. And Austin Osborne for the record.
Thank you, Austin.
Very good. Thank you. That's my only question.
All right. With that said, we already took public comment. No other questions from you, Vice Chair?
No, thank you.
All right. Would you entertain a motion then, please?
Yeah. This is Commissioner Mitchell. I move to approve today's consent agenda as presented.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Moving right along to public comment, item number 6. Public comment will be allowed at the beginning and end of each meeting. This comment should be limited to matters not on today's calendar agenda. Public comment will be allowed after each item on the agenda, and this comment should be limited to the agendized topics. With that said, is there any public comment today? I'll give it one more call. Is there any public comment from anybody on Zoom? You can use the chat feature or the raise your hand feature, and if you're calling in, use *6 to unmute yourself. Not seeing any public comment, we are going to move on to item number 7, which is discussion only. No action, no public comment will be taken. These are committee and staff reports. We are going to start, as we always do, with the Sheriff's Office. Chief Deputy Dosen, anything from the Sheriff's Office today?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commission, nothing to report today.
All right, thank you. Moving right along to the Fire Department. Chief Longcar.
As well, nothing to report today.
Thank you. We are going to skip out of order here slightly, and I'm going to move on to Community Development. Pete Renaud.
Good morning, Commissioners. I just got a little bit to touch on. Out there in the park, we've got massive grading happening. It's moving quickly. There's literally tens of millions of yards of dirt being moved. Just approved another grading permit recently. That's going to be a pretty huge project along USA Parkway, up past Switch and across from Google area. I wanted to point out that Ashley's been working on delinquent business licenses from the past 3-4 years. She started off with nearly 800, and she's worked herself down to about 459 right now, either terminating them or updating them and having them pay delinquent fees or new licenses. Her goal is to be done by the fiscal year. It's quite a task. She's doing about 50 a day right now. Phone's ringing off the hook. And also, I'd just like to let you all know that a familiar face will be back in the county April 2nd. We've hired Joe Starnes to fill in the Building Inspector 2 position. So he'll be making his rounds in the neighborhood again. We're looking forward to him being with us. And that's all I got for today.
Great. Thank you for that report, Pete. All good news. Commissioner Gilman, do you have anything for Pete before he goes?
No, thank you, Pete.
Vice Chairman?
No, thanks very much, Pete.
All right. Again, thanks for that report, Pete. Have a great day.
You guys too. Thank you.
All right. Back on schedule. Public Works, Jason Wersbicki.
Good morning, Chairman, Commissioner. Nothing to report.
All right. Moving on to Projects Coordinator, Mike Northan. In person.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. Mike Northan, Operations and Projects Coordinator. First item to update the board about is the courthouse paver project. Tomorrow, the safety fence will be being erected. Some materials are going to be staged on site. I did talk to Buildings and Grounds. They're going to try and cone that area off this evening, keep the cars out of there so we can get that fence up. As sections of the pavers are removed, Public Works is going to take the opportunity to replace some ancient sections of water and sewer piping that run from the building to the mains out in B Street. There have been a couple questions from the public about the work, so I was going to address a couple of those here. First one is the stone blocks are not being removed. They're going to be resurfaced and put back into their original locations and re-leveled. The entire process is going to be photo documented for our records and also for SHPO. Next one is, no, we do not anticipate finding any gold or other treasure under the stones. They were placed in 1876, so not much opportunity for artifacts to have found their way under them. Item C is, I have asked for additional patrols on the job site, as I do for most projects, partly to protect the equipment and materials on site, but also to protect people from getting into what could be a hazardous work site. Second project to update you about is today. I will have the final plans for the VC Highlands Fire Station apparatus building. We're going to meet with the designers, review the plans, and get this project out to bid as rapidly as possible, and I will keep the board advised as we go forward on that. And then last item is, pursuant to NRS 338, the authorized representative for the awarding body is required to report to the awarding body on a quarterly basis all contracts awarded for public works projects. In the first quarter of this year, there is exactly one project, the courthouse pavers project. There is an agenda item, number 9, coming up, which may change that to 2 of them. So I'll be happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Mike. Commissioner Gilman, you have any questions for Mike?
I do not. Thank you.
Vice Chair?
No, thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
The update, Mike. Moving on to communications, Becky Parsons.
Hello, Becky Parsons. I have nothing to report.
All right. Thank you, Becky. Emergency management, Laura Mather.
Good morning. Laura Mather for the record. A quick COVID-19 update. Our positive cases here in Story County continue to decrease rapidly. For our last reporting period, we had a total of 4 cases. So that is just wonderful to hear us moving down in those cases so rapidly. As of Friday, April 1st, the Quad County COVID-19 hotline will no longer be up and running. The community can still call Carson City Health and Human Services directly at 887-2190. Or, as always, get healthycarsoncity.org for any COVID-19 information. The website tells you everything, where to go for testing, where to go for vaccinations, any CDC updated guidance, anything like that. So that is still available. I will be stepping off this meeting right after staff reports. Western Nevada chapter of the Nevada Emergency Preparedness Association is having their chapter meeting at St. Mary's Art Center. So I want to thank St. Mary's Art Center for allowing us to invade their building and to have our emergency management chapter meeting there. End of report.
Thank you, Laura. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Laura Mathers?
I do not. Thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
I don't, but I think maybe our next meeting should happen in her office if that's where she is.
She's always at the lake.
I know. What's up with that?
So, all right. Thanks again, Laura. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
It looks nice out there.
It is beautiful out there today. Community Relations, Honey Tapley. Is she on with us?
Good morning. I have nothing to report today. Yes.
All right.
Hello, can you hear me?
Honey? We are going to, we don't have any water and sewer updates from Mike Nevin. I don't see him on there. Comptroller, I don't see Jennifer.
She's on her way out.
Okay. I'll put that on the side. The assessor's office, Janice Seddon.
Morning again. I have been asked by our comptroller to just kind of give you guys an update. We have a contract with Pictometry, which is our aerial images, where we fly my reappraisal area of the county and the industrial park. We fly the industrial park every year because this helps basically. It's growing so fast, so we can see what's going on. We entered into this contract in 2018, and it was a 5-year contract. I don't want to say unfortunately, but we had to update the contract last year because the industrial park has grown so much that we needed to add additional flight sectors to pick up areas like where Google is now and a couple of other areas where things have expanded. So again, we're going to have to do that this year. We'll have to do it next year as our last year in the 5-year contract. So you'll hear me here again next year saying that we need to augment the current contract that is in place. So basically what this is this year, the difference, we had to add, let's see here, we had to add 14, I believe it was, sectors at a community level. The community level is a little bit higher fly area. Generally, we do a neighborhood so I can measure, I can do stuff, and it helps me do my, our everyday appraisal work here. But when you start getting buildings that are as large as Tesla, you can't see anything. It zooms in, and all you get is a ginormous roof. So now we're flying 14 sectors that are a little bit higher so we can actually see the broad expanse of the building and do our measurements from that side. And we're expanding 6 sectors to include the outside areas, again, that is down below where Google is growing and some of our outside areas. So the difference in the contract is going to be right at $3,700, in addition to what has already been approved. We pay this out of my tech fund, and my tech fund is completely fine. There's plenty of money in there, but Comptroller did ask me to put this before the board to let you guys know what was going on with it. Do you have any questions?
Thank you for that update, Jana. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Jana?
I do not, thank you.
All right, Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No, thank you.
All right, thanks again for that update. Mm-hmm. I'm going to bounce back to Comptroller McCain. She is joining us via Zoom.
She said she's still driving, she's listening, but she might chime in, but she doesn't need to.
Okay. No problem.
She's on her way.
I'm going to bounce back again to the VCTC. Austin, you want to give an update on that?
Sure, Mr. Chairman. Just over the weekend, the Fry and the St. Patrick's Day celebration was a big success. Everything went really nice, and the team down there at the VCTC did a great job running all the different events in addition to the video shoots and everything. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Let us move on to the Planning Department. Kathy Canfield.
I have nothing today. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. Moving on to the Recorder's Office, Marnie Hanson-Martinez.
Good morning, Chairman and Commissioners. Nothing to report today.
Thank you, Marnie. IT Department, do we have James on board? Yep.
Good morning, Commissioners. James Dean, Story County IT Director. Got a few quick items for you. We have successfully moved the Clerk's Office and the Secretary of State Voter Commission, the DMV, and the Justice Court off of an ancient T1 line that the state put in 20 years ago. They're now running on the high-speed fiber, and we've gotten good feedback after a few bumps early in the week. So those services are running on a much faster and more reliable internet connection. The tower at the sewer treatment plant has been completed, and we're moving to the next phase, which is dropping in the outdoor cabinets. We can start moving some networking equipment in there and get some radios mounted. And my final item is the radio link to Community Chest has been installed, and we just got to button up a couple of things with cooling and power, and we will get the Community Chest on the high-speed fiber as well. That's all I have today. Thank you.
Thank you, James. Commissioner Gilman, do you have anything for James?
No, sir, but thank you, James.
Mr. Chairman Mitchell?
No, thank you.
All right, James, I do have one question. I don't know if it's out of your purview, but do you know anything about the AT&T cell tower? Is that officially up and running?
I have no information on that. I know it's being built and they're working through some things, but I don't have much information regarding that.
All right. Fair enough. Thanks, James.
Yep.
Glad to see you back, by the way. I know it's been a while, but good to see you.
Thank you, sir.
Uh-huh. All right. Moving on to Human Resources. Gina Green.
I have nothing new to report. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Community Chest. I think I saw Eric on there.
Yes, good morning. I don't have any reports today.
All right. Senior Center, did I see Stacy on there? No.
Yeah, she's right there.
Oh, there she is.
Yep. Good morning, Stacy York, for the record. We found out last week that we have received almost $316,000 in new grant funding. That includes $24,000 for a new vehicle in Lockwood for our transportation program, $273,000 in capital improvements, and $18,250 for technology purposes. And we're super excited to have that. It'll be over this fiscal year and next fiscal year, so get ready for some new upgrades. And the next vaccine clinic will be on Tuesday, March 29th from 3 to 4 at the VC Senior Center. And that is all, unless there's any questions.
Thank you, Stacy. Commissioner Gilman, anything for Stacy?
Stacy, all I can say is what a great outcome. Boy, I love to see that money flowing in. Thanks for all the effort.
Thank you. Me too.
Indeed. Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No. Thank you, Stacy.
All right. Thanks again for that wonderful update, Stacy. So I will admit I need glasses. Do we see Judge Harrington on there?
She's in court.
Okay. We will move on to the DA's office, and I can see you, so I know you're
yes,
here.
Yes, I am here. I actually do have something to say today. I just thought that I would give the board an update on the nuisance issues going on in Story County, because it seems to be, well, a hot topic for a long time. And when it comes down to nuisances, much like they say Rome wasn't built in a day, a nuisance isn't built in a day either. Sometimes it takes years for nuisances to have been created, and therefore it takes years sometimes to undo a nuisance. So one of the things we were very fortunate about, I know that the board was very interested starting out early, and so we were thinking of a new creative way to address this problem. So in 2017, the legislature came down with a new law that allowed for what is known as a pre-prosecution. So with a pre-prosecution, in this case, we decided, wow, that would be a great program for nuisances. It's an 18-month program, and I just really have to give the community development department kudos, great job on the amount of work that they have been putting in to this pre-prosecution program, to the nuisance program since 2017. The pre-prosecution program, without going too far into the weeds, deals with the more advanced stages of a nuisance. In the program, what happens, we're at a point now, we've had 18 cases in the program since 2018. We have 12 active programs now, and with the amount of people in the program, we actually have a whole different day of court to address all the people that come in. Chairman Carmona was nice enough to come over and watch the program one day to see how it works. And this could not have been done without the work of, starting out, it was Joe Starnes, who's back again, and then Jim Ferris, who worked with him. And now we've got Chris Hannon, and Pete Renault is always there to back up and help. So what you have is, over a course of time, the community development department has been able to abate 47 properties without anyone going into the program. So what we're finding is a lot of people are jumping on it, that community development is jumping on these nuisances before they're getting big. And the ones that are at an advanced stage, they are in the pre-prosecution program. And some of them, well, not everybody has been in there for 18 months, but the program is a long-term program, because when you're having people abate a nuisance, it takes time. A lot of these cars that are on the property, they're not registered. They can't get them off. So it takes time to go through. And again, community development through Chris and Pete, for the main part now, are really helping people to abate their nuisances. It's not meant to be a punitive program. It's meant to be a program where you get help from the county to help you abate the nuisance, which really makes a difference in Story County. It really makes a difference when you look next door and a nuisance that was there before is being abated. And so I just wanted to give an update and basically a shout out to community development for the great job that they're doing.
Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments?
Oh, just to thank you for that. It's interesting and it's wonderful it's working so well.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks.
Vice Chairman?
No, thank you.
Thank you again for that, VA Langer. I have seen with my own eyes some places that have gotten cleaned up in the last couple months, and
yeah.
It has definitely made a big difference. Before we move on to the county manager, we do have the director of St. Mary's Arts Center with us today, and I know Erica would like to give us an update.
Thank you, Commissioner Carmona. Good morning, everyone. This is Erica Perry for the record. I just wanted to give a brief update that the restoration projects going on at the Art Center are underway and on schedule. That includes our new porch decking, internal staff stairwell, and the print room restoration. So we're very excited about that and look forward to showing everyone in May when we reopen for season. But also, we are going to host our annual Easter egg hunt on the lawn this year, which will be April 17th. We're planning it for 1 p.m., but we will have more details posted and shared shortly. And that is all I have for you today.
Thank you very much, Erica. Commissioner Gilman, you have anything for Erica?
No questions, thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No, thank you.
All right, thanks again for joining us today, Erica. All right. Second to last, County Manager Austin Osborne, what do you have today?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioners, Austin Osborne for the record. We had a town hall last Thursday down in Lockwood and talked to folks down there about a few items. It was a closed air one this time, being inside the building, but the topic was kind of the same. Anything that anybody wants to bring up, in addition to the bikeway project that is making progress from Reno Sparks over and also from the Wadsworth side into that area. And we wanted to reach out to those folks as we have for the last 15 years to ask their opinions on what they feel about that project ultimately when it does approach Lockwood, whether they want it to go through their community or look at alternative alignments. We were given a desire by the public, which was pretty similar to what it's been for the last 15 years, to reach out to the bike folks and allow them to come to that community and do a presentation, and then also to oppose any alignments that would actually go through Lockwood or the Lockwood Community Corporation. So we will follow suit on that and then reach back to that community at that point. Next, we talked about the zip code endeavors we've done throughout the county. As you know, in 2018, we got a zip code out at Tri-Center for 89437. And then we've been working with Congressman Amaday's office, Senator Cortez Masto's office, and Senator Rosen's office on trying to get those zip codes expanded to the other parts of the county. Kind of generally would be, as the most common sense appears, to be to take the Highlands and provide them an 89440 zip code that will get them out of the Reno zip. That does not mean that they would be abandoning their mailboxes or having to come to Virginia City for mail. That has been a question out there. For the Lockwood and Painted Rock, we would suggest just expanding 89437 Tri-Center to include those communities as well, and so that the residents in these communities can get beneficial insurance rates, beneficial tax rating on their e-commerce, not having to deal with the DMV down in Reno, trying to explain they don't have to smog their vehicles, and a host of other reasons. So we will continue doing that. We do estimate at this point that changing that zip code out of Tri roughly resulted in $400,000 sales tax increase to the county each year. That fluctuates, of course, and there have been ebbs and flows and spikes, but that's a general number. I am putting together a one-page summary of that meeting that will go to the Lockwood community and summarize these elements. Lastly, I do want to let you know that our health benefits and our regular insurance for casualty, life, and for workers' compensation and for facilities and autos, all of that is out to market right now to look at what rates will be best. serving the community and the county out there. And we should have that fairly soon here and no longer than April 30th for the health benefits insurance. And then lastly, very important item actually, is we are having a hard time again finding lifeguards. And if anybody in the community knows somebody that wants to go serve that capacity, it's a very important need. We have one lifeguard applicant right now. We cannot open the pool unless we have lifeguards. So Brandy and Jesse and other folks working in our team are down at the schools. They're over at Community Chest. They're trying to get the word out that it's a pretty fun job for kids that want to go out and be a lifeguard. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Austin. Commissioner Gilman, do you have anything for Austin?
I just have a comment, Austin, in a small way. You'll recall that one of the residents during the meeting suggested that the powers that be in Virginia City were not really paying attention to Lockwood and that we might be looking at making decisions irrespective of what the community was interested in having. And that's bothered me ever since that comment was made. I doubt that it's, or I would hope that it's not universal down there, but I've been here for over 9 years myself on this commission, and I don't know what the powers that be in Virginia City might be, but I would want everybody to know that this commission, during all 9 years I've been here, have been extremely focused on our communities, on Lockwood, on listening, on multiple meetings every year continually, and doing our very, very best to ethically, honorably, and professionally listen to what the folks want out there in our communities, and that we absolutely are not making decisions irrespective of what our community wishes. And so I just wanted to make that clear here after that meeting.
Commissioners, if you want, I'll just list a couple things that were discussed as far as capital improvements for that community that are being put together right now, as Commissioner Gilman has suggested that the community or that we are investing in the Lockwood area. Just right now, we had discussed the Lockwood Senior Center and Community Center. In the past, we've been waiting for grants, been waiting for federal funding, looking at all these different opportunities, and we'll continue to do that for funding for this project. We do estimate it to be about $3 to $4 million. This board, through the approval of the Capital Improvement Plan, has said that is a marquee project that has been talked about for over a decade, and it needs to get done. So it's getting done. Mike Northen and his team put together a group that we're going to design that community with the Lockwood folks down there, and that it's going to have a commercial kitchen. It's going to have a great room. It's going to have all the private areas for people to do taxes and, you know, consultation with social services and those sorts of things. It's going to have the food pantry separated. It's going to have all the different elements that people have wanted and needed down in that community, and it's getting moved forward now. That design will be occurring this spring into the summer, and then the construction, once it's done, will begin into the fall and into the next spring, probably a little bit into the next summer. We are also working on a contingency plan for, you know, some kind of a facility that would be in place during construction for that community. Otherwise, I'm not going to go all the items and all the detail unless you want me to, but the Tower Road, that is a $200,000 improvement to that community that the Lockwood Community Corporation would have been footed, that they don't have the money to do that. And that's happening. It's on today's agenda. I won't talk about it too much. Perry Ranch Road, as you're aware, the county has taken that over, so the Lockwood Community Corporation no longer has to pave, surface, sign, and otherwise maintain that road. We're working with NV Energy on getting natural gas plugged into that community and working with different means to try to get that natural gas plugged into the Lockwood Community Corporation that doesn't have the distribution system needed like Rainbow Bend does. We're working on that now. We're working out zoning issues. There's a conflicts down there with uses that we're working with that community. Kathy and her team are down there constantly working with the Truckee Rentals flood folks. And they're working in the Lockwood area on our side of the river to come up with a four alternatives flood plan for that community that will get the fire district out of the floodplain, get those houses out of the floodplain. There's about five or six different ways that that might be able to be done. That would be a $10 million project, by the way, when that construction begins. And there will be a combination of county funding as well as FEMA and other funding that will go along with that. The sheriff's office substation this spring and then going into the summer is going to be replaced either with a new building or combined in with the Lockwood Community Center. The sheriff's office is in those conversations to see what works for those people. And then James and his team are looking at putting a tower down there to bring broadband, not only to the sheriff's office and the community senior center, but also to the fire district and to the school. And then our district attorney's office is working with us to get a legal opinion to see if we can beam that broadband into the Rainbow Bend Clubhouse and into the Lockwood Community Corporation office. So Lockwood definitely is a focus of capital improvements and planning right now, trying to get that community where they need to be. And it's been a joy doing that and working with those people down there and getting what they want to see happen and then getting our capital improvement plan aligned with that. And I want to thank this board also for the actions it's taken in that regard.
I appreciate that follow-up so much, Austin. Also, if I may, just by way of comment, you may be aware that there have been two tragic accidents down at the Patrick with folks traveling, I think traveling eastbound. But those accidents have resulted in a lot of traffic tie-up. And so evidently still to this day, quite a number of trucks, hauling trucks, construction trucks, 18-wheelers, are using the Perry Ranch Road cutoff and down through the community. And so they're very concerned about it down there in the Lockwood Rainbow Bend. The trucks are coming through, kind of using it like a thoroughfare, and maybe not really paying a great deal of attention to the speed limits or the speed bumps. Or we've got a school down there and a senior center. So I think that I would ask that staff maybe start a series of constructive meetings to see how, as a county, we might address that use of Perry Ranch. I realize that there are a number of challenges regarding that roadway, but to the extent that we can, I believe it would be prudent from a safety standpoint, if nothing else, is that we really take a look at Perry Ranch Road and how we might address the issues during traffic tie-ups and major problems on I-80.
Be glad
Thank
to.
You.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything for
us? Yeah, I would just add that both of those things have been on my mind as well. You know, the comment was made that this pathway was a settled issue, and the only reason that it was being brought up for discussion was that for some reason we were advocating bringing it through the community. And my response to that is I feel it's totally appropriate that you, county manager, held a town hall meeting, because there have been developments with that PATH project that bring it close to the community. And as such, it's a perfect time to reach back out to the community and just take the temperature, see what they feel. If there's once they've interacted with the project, if they have new insight or continue to feel the same. And so I appreciate you taking the time to get down there. I thought that was a perfect reason to hold a meeting, along with the other things that were discussed. I was also thinking about the traffic issues that, you know, tragically we had a couple of wrong-way drivers and some other things that have really tied up the traffic recently. And I was wondering, I don't know if it's appropriate, but I was wondering if it might be appropriate to see if there were some CERT volunteers that could be some sort of a quick reaction team to at least get out there with some flags to slow people down or something. I don't know if that's an appropriate role. I know that our law enforcement is stretched pretty thin, especially during those busy times. But something to help in the short term, maybe to just on a safety perspective, especially with 18-wheelers rolling through the LCC there, that's a little scary. I mean, there's not a lot of room from the front of the houses to the road, so especially if they're not respecting the speed limits. The other thing that I wanted to mention is I did have a constituent who asked if we might, in the short term with the zip code issue, if there was a possibility for the four-digit zip code suffixes to start being used in a more consistent way to at least help start to differentiate and maybe get rid of some of that confusion. And so anyway, I haven't looked into it any further than that. Would be happy to if that would be helpful, but I just thought I'd mention it as you were talking about the zip code issue. Thank you.
Also, if I may, I'll follow up with one other thought that we can add to this discussion. But regarding the Patrick interchange, it is significantly substandard, has been since it was created. And there really has been nothing down there that have been implemented to make it a safer access. And now that that the Patrick exit for TRI has become a major entrance and exit part of the infrastructure down there, the way that the ramp is structured when you're leaving TRI or the park, the way the ramps are structured, it's very easy to make the mistake of getting on that off-ramp. And I've seen it happen a number of times when people start and they turn around. The good news on that right now as of today is thank you for our staff and also for NDOT, because everyone has just recently, within the last few days, recognized that something needs to be done. Until that interchange is completely reconstructed into a full diamond operation, we need to really upgrade the signage and the danger and the red lighting that would go onto that say, stop, don't come this way. And I believe that's happening. I saw a communication from NDOT that they are taking that under advisement immediately. And so I think we'll see some short-term results anyway.
I think NDOT should just put a severe tire damage. I mean, you pop the tires, they're not getting on that freeway.
It's not a bad idea, actually.
I don't mean that jokingly.
No, that's not. going up the ramp.
Especially
but,
the truck driver.
But something definitely must be done. It's a dangerous element.
Right. Indeed. Any more questions for Austin?
I feel like I'll respond to a couple of those.
Absolutely.
I'll keep it quick.
Yep.
Just on the NDOT matter of Patrick, we built a really great relationship with NDOT, and Jason and his team, and I know Lance and your team, and myself, we've all been reaching out to those folks. And Mike Feast from District 2 is really great. Easy to get a hold of, always likes to use common sense approaches to things. He did reach me yesterday on the phone in addition to email, and he said immediately they're going to change the reflectivity of the signs on that Patrick exit, and they're going to add more red signage to really make it clear. He says under one of these circumstances, they wouldn't have been able to avoid the situation because it was an intentional entry into that exit. But on the other hand, on the other one, maybe it would have been. So they are working on that immediately. And then I'll certainly follow suit with working with NDOT to see what we can do to keep trucks from getting into that Lockwood community area. And then lastly, I will put in that summary of the town hall that using a ZIP plus 4 will help resolve your e-commerce taxing matter. That plus 4 will get you to be paying the 7.6% as opposed to the 8.3% in Washoe County or whatever respective if you're in Lyon County, their tax rate, which is actually lower. So we'll do that.
Thank you, Austin.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. Great ideas. All right, last but not least, our trusty clerk, Dory, anything? All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate all the updates from staff, for those that are here in person, for those that are on Zoom. We are going to get back to our regularly scheduled agenda. Bringing us to board comments, I'm going to start on my far left. Commissioner Gilman, do you have anything today?
Well, I've already said my say, so thank you very much.
Fair enough. Vice Chairman Mitchell?
Just a couple quick things. The first one was, great to see the town full over the weekend. Anecdotally, talking to a few of our merchants on C Street, there was a feeling that there's a lot of pent-up energy coming out of the restrictions that have been in place, regardless of how strict they were. People really have this energy to get out and mingle, and some of them had really fantastic days from a business perspective. So that's hopefully that bodes well for the entire season coming up. I just wanted to thank staff on several occasions for their prompt responses and follow through. I'll just mention one. We held a meeting with a regional group out at the building we have out in TRI a couple weeks ago, and the internet was a little spotty. I mentioned it. We got through the meeting, but I mentioned it and just got a response yesterday confirming that had all been fixed from James at IT. So I appreciate that follow up. Because then I was able to pass that message along to the organizers of the meeting, say, hey, we got everything taken care of. I do also want to just take a moment to recognize all of our neighbors that have put their name forward as candidates for something. It takes a lot of guts to put yourself out there, but I feel it's a really crucial part of our system. And a lot of the involvement in elected positions at the local level. There's not a lot of glory in them, so to speak, but it really is community service. And so I know we're still in the middle of that. I guess Friday's probably the last day of filing for things, but a lot of people have put their names forward, and I just want to recognize those who are willing to actually step up and be involved. And the last thing, Chair Carmona, is anecdotally, I used to live in a hole for cell phone reception. Anecdotally, I'm getting much better AT&T service, as in five bars versus one, but I don't have any empirical data as to the status of that tower, but so far it seems like it's working on a regular basis.
Yeah, I've noticed the same thing too, but it's not
consistent.
It's not consistent. I'm pulling 150 megs right by Public Works, but again, I'd like an official, you know, thumbs up. Just to touch on what Vice Chairman Mitchell said, I had the honor of being a judge this weekend at the Oyster Fry, and I wanted to point out that two of our local folks won the professional category. One is not here today. Newest member to the community, Arturo at the Virginia City Mexican Restaurant, won third place, which was fantastic. And then one of the two members, Jason Burden and Adam Ribello, part under the Canvas Cafe umbrella, won second place in the professional category. Kudos to them. That was I thought a fantastic win, especially since they're really both. I know Arturo's run a restaurant before, but, Jason and Adam, to step into that professional category and to pull that off was definitely a nice win. So it was good to see some locals do that. The turnout was fantastic. It was packed in town. For the hours that I was here, everybody was pretty well behaved. I know it's probably a few incidents, but overall it was a great turnout. I think there was over 700 tickets sold just for the tastings, and then I think somewhere in the neighborhood of 350 to 400 as far as the pub crawl. So it was definitely a nice kickoff, and that is it for my update. So with that said, we will move on to item number 9. This is for discussion and possible action. Discussion and possible action of the submitted bids for the Lockwood Tower Road and Retaining Wall Rehabilitation Project and possible award of contract. Mr. Mike Northam.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. You heard a little earlier about this project, the Lockwood Tower Road and Retaining Wall project. On March 8, 2022, bids were received for the Lockwood Tower Road project. We had one responsive bid, and that was received from MKD Construction. The bid was responsive. Oh, and the board should have gotten a supplementary information pack regarding this item. It contains the bid and the bid tabulation and all that.
Yep.
One responsive bid was received, and the company does appear to be well-suited to this type of work. They elected to use the alternate footing design, which is not surprising given the geology of Lockwood and difficulty of driving piles in that type of soil. I don't have an engineer's estimate for this project, but I did take a look at the work and the materials, and in the context of a prevailing wage project, with its compliance costs, the price does seem to be within an expected range. We are probably just going to see some material lead times, like steel, reinforcing steel. Today it could be steel, tomorrow it could be concrete. It's hard to tell these days. So that's a consideration. It's probably going to be looking at 90 days for construction contract time. That hillside slope is very rocky. It is dynamic. The retaining wall is currently in active failure. And, of course, prices are just going to be going up as we go forward. So your staff recommendation is that we proceed with this project and award the contract to MKD Construction for their base bid amount and authorize the county manager to spend an amount not to exceed $235,000.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments about this bid?
Not about the bid specifically, but I'm delighted that it's moving forward. This is really an action item for public safety. That has been a hazardous access for a lot of years. And so the fact that construction is a little more difficult during these years and costs are up and those kind of things, I think irrespective of that it's important we go forward with something that's That's very important for the safety of our public.
Agreed. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
No, I have no additional comment.
All right. Well, with that said, would you entertain a motion?
Yeah. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to award the contract for the Lockwood Tower Road and Retaining Wall Rehabilitation Project to
MKD Construction.
Thank you. MKD Construction in the amount not to exceed $232,875 in accordance with staff recommendations.
I'll second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Thanks for your work on that, Mike. Moving right along to item number 10, this discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the expenditure of $44,108.25 for the replacement of a department vehicle that was totaled. County insurance will cover $36,145 of this cost, leaving a remaining balance of $7,963.25 to be paid by the county. Jason Wurzbicki.
Good morning, Chairman and Commissioner. Jason Wurzbicki for the record. As you just mentioned, this is a replacement vehicle for the totaled vehicle that happened back in the 8th of December of last year. Unfortunately, we were kind of limited on vehicles and access to vehicles. This is basically a stock pickup that we were able to secure governmental pricing for at a last minute. That governmental pricing savings is roughly $9,100 below MSRP. So at this point in time, we're asking for approval of the extra $7,963.25 towards the purchase of this truck.
Thank you, Jason. Is there any public comment regarding item number 10 and the purchase of this vehicle? I don't see any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Jason about this?
I do not. Thank you, Jason.
Vice Chairman?
No, thank you.
All right, would you entertain a motion then?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the expenditure of $44,108.25 for the replacement of the IT vehicle that was totaled. County insurance will cover $36,145 of this cost, leaving a remaining balance of $7,963.25 to be paid by the county.
I'll second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Lucky you found something.
Yeah, thanks, Joe.
You're welcome. All right, bringing us to item number 11, we're going to recess to convene as the Story County Fire Protection District Board. Bringing us to item number 12, which is discussion for possible action. Discussion and possible approval of resolution number 21-637, a resolution setting grade and salary range of employees fixed by ordinance or resolution per NRS 474.470 for appointed Story County Fire Protection District officials for the 2021-2022 fiscal year and superseding prior year action by resolution for appointed Story County Fire Protection District employees with adjustments by eliminating IPT firefighter EMT, IPT lead seasonal firefighter, and IPT dozer operator. The IPT wildland firefighter is now designated as grant funded, and the pay grade is set at 108. Chief Longcar.
Good morning, Commissioners. Jeremy Longcar for the record. as it was stated, this is a process of eliminating three of our intermittent part-time, is what the IPT stands for, positions, and in line with what was on my agenda for last commissioner's meeting, we are moving it to grant funded and going to pay for it through under the NV Energy Fuels Fund. Through that, since we were eliminating three positions and sticking to the one, we did conduct a comp study, see where we were sitting at regionally, and it adjusted the wage accordingly. So it did go from a 103 to a 108, which keeps us competitive and well within our grant funding.
Hey. Is there any public comment regarding item number 12 in this pay grade? Not seeing any public comment. Fire Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for the fire chief?
I do not. I think it's well worthwhile. Great work. Thank you for bringing it together in this.
Thank you.
Fire Commissioner Mitchell, anything?
No, thank you.
And I have nothing as well. So with that said, would you entertain a motion?
Yeah, I, Fire Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve resolution number 21-637, a resolution setting grade and salary ranges of employees fixed by ordinance or resolution per NRS 474.470 for appointed Story County Fire Protection District officials for the 2021-2022 fiscal year and superseding prior year action by resolution for appointed Story County Fire Protection District employees with adjustments, deleting IPT firefighter EMT, IPT lead seasonal firefighter, and IPT dozer operator. The IPT wildland firefighter is now designated as grant funded and the pay grade set at 108.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to item number 13, which is discussion for possible action. Discussion and possible approval for display by means of auction, donation, sale, or trade-in of four surplus fire district vehicles. Chief Lonkart.
Yes, and just our continual reevaluation of our fleet. We've got four units that are no longer being utilized, and much like the others, they are in various states of repair. So three of these four units that are listed are all going to require a significant amount of maintenance to get them back into operational condition, and they simply don't serve any function for the district right now. So in part of our cleaning up, I propose that we move to donate or sell or trade in these four vehicles. One of them is a pretty good engine. You can see the 1986 International Brush engine. It's still pretty good, but as we've increased our fleet, we just don't need it anymore. So I'm pretty sure some small department in Nevada would love to have it, and that's what I'd like to see it go to.
Fair enough. Is there any public comment regarding item number 13 and the possible sale or disposal of these four fire district vehicles? Not seeing any public comment. Fire Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions, comments?
I have no further. Thank you.
Fire Commissioner Mitchell?
Oh, thank you.
All right. Would you entertain a motion then, please?
Yeah. I, Fire Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the disposal of four surplus fire district vehicles by means of auction, donation, sale, or trade-in.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you,
Thank
Chief.
Thank you, Commissioners.
Moving right along to item number 14 is to adjourn to reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners, bringing us to item number 15, which is for discussion and possible action. Consideration and possible approval for the Public Works Director to sign bid quote in the amount of $22,500 to Sierra Nevada Construction for striping of Loustown and 6 Mile Canyon Road. Jason Wersbicki.
Good morning, Chairman, Commissioners. Jason Wersbicki for the record. This is, in fact, like you just read, to be able to put a stripe on Loustown for the first time ever and then restripe 6 Mile Canyon before we end up losing those double yellows and it ends up costing more money. We originally received two bids. However, Apex Paving and Grinding had to pull their bid due to their striping partner had closed their business.
Oh.
So that left us with S&C at a total, of, including mobilization, of $22,500, and I'd like to get your approval to move forward with this.
All right. Thank you, Jason. Is there any public comment regarding item number 15 and the striping of Loustown and 6 Mile Canyon Road? Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, questions, comments?
I'm in support. Thank you.
Vice Chairman?
I am as well. Thank you.
All right. I don't have any questions, but I'm glad to see this is getting done. I know my constituents out in the Highlands brought up the striping of Loustown. They'll be happy.
Sure.
Thank you. With that said, Vice Chairman, do you entertain a motion, please?
Yeah. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the Public Works Director to sign the quote from Sierra Nevada Construction, SNC, in the amount of $22,500 for striping Loustown and 6 Mile Canyon Roads.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thanks, Jason.
Thanks, John.
Keep up the great work.
Thank you.
All right. We are at item number 16, which is discussion for possible action. These are consideration and possible action of business license second readings. These are A through F. Is there any public comment regarding the second reading of business licenses A through F? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you entertain a motion, please?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. This is Commissioner Mitchell. I move to approve the second reading of business licenses listed as items A through F.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Welcome to Story County to those businesses. Item number 17 is the second and final option for public comment. Is there any public comment today? Going once. Sold. Item number 18 is to adjourn all active and recessed boards on the agenda. It is 11:05, and I'm going to call this meeting adjourned. See you all in 2 weeks-ish. Thank you, everybody, for coming. We do have closed.